Have you ever heard of female archetypes, the maiden, the mother, the enchantress, and the crone? Do you ever wonder how they might play out in your life or which one you might be in the phase of right now? This is something that I'm always really curious about. And in this, which is part two of my conversation with Angie Litvinov, she goes deep into those four key archetypes and how they follow along from each other and how they blend in together. This is pure wisdom being channeled directly from Angie, who is a spiritual coach, medicine woman, and artist. I really hope that you take something powerful away from this. So whether this is your first time here or you've been here before, welcome. I'm Lisa Welsh. This is In Bed with Lisa, and you're in the right place for conversations that are going to help you to access more pleasure in your life and have more fun in bed, because life is too short for mediocre sex. Now, if that sounds like something that you're interested in, then why not go ahead, like and subscribe, rate and review to make sure that you get the next installment and to help me to spread this word to as many people as possible. Without further ado, let's dive into today's conversation.
So I focus really for, I'm a great believer in, and also tried and tested in all the years that I've been working with women, that when we come back to looking at things in the simplest way that we can access, we get to the most powerful processes, okay? So It works for me, but I've seen it so much. And often life can feel very complicated in terms of how we relate to ourselves. But when we ask some key questions, including what is it that I really want, then sometimes all the drama that has built around that is because we haven't really asked for it.
Mm.
Okay. And that we're sort of frustrated and seeking ways to voice that without actually saying it. And that can lead to all sorts of really difficult communication issues. So when we come and simplify, and when we really get really honest with ourselves, it's quite remarkable how all the bits that have got really unrelated, but that seemed, you know, so complicated, making our lives so complicated, begin to fall away. And one of the ways to understand ourselves better is to look at the key archetypes. Now, there are many, but I really work, as I said, look, keeping it simple, I work with four main archetypes. And this is the cycle of our lives. It's also the cycle of, linked to the cycle of our menstrual cycle and the cycle of the lunar cycle. You know, we could talk about this for days, quite literally. So looking at the archetypes, we're looking at four main aspects. And the first one is the archetype of the maiden. So that energy is to do with really new energy, new beginnings. Okay. And often I think about, when I'm describing this, I often I think about a film which, was a very, very old film now, but which really, really looks at the archetypes in a very powerful way. And when I saw this film, it really irritated me, because I think it did push buttons with me, and it was American Beauty. So about 50 million years ago, there was this film called American Beauty. And it was, and it's essentially, it's about a lot of things, but it's these two girls, and they have very entirely different relationship to sexuality and identity and coming of age type, situations that happen. But one of the things that they both illustrate, regardless of how different they are from each other, is this new energy which comes in your teens when, if the course of your life has kind of run, as smoothly as it can, that you have got the natural curiosity to go out and do things without having fallen flat on your face many times. So then you're naturally more daring, and that your curiosity pushes you into the world, pushes out into your world to explore things, because you are wanting to engage with everything for the first time, okay? And so this is the energy that we can hone and we can look to when we remember, even if it wasn't present exactly like that in our own lives, we can connect to that collective energy of what it's like when we embrace the maiden. The maiden is all about those new beginnings. It's all about that gutsy, sassy, natural curiosity to go forwards with this sort of unhindered and not being tainted or jaded or, you know, be full of conditioning. Okay, so that fresh energy is also very daring. We can really maximize on that once we begin to immerse ourselves with this. Once you begin to tune into it, you're actually, you know, anything can be possible, anything the potential for, you know, how we explore life. And, you know, for example, if you're starting something new in life and you're looking at how to, how to engage with it with courage, look to the maiden. She's not going to hold back because she hasn't had that despondency and discouragement set in that sometimes begins to, you know, sort of change our perception of what's possible for us. Okay, fresh energy.
And we can tap in. We can tap into that at any time, right? Like it doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And also it's the time when you can imagine, you know, picture a 15, 16 year old, you know, that sort of frenzied sexual energy, which is like, you know, sort of it's almost like you can hear the zzz, you know, it's like electric kind of zzz, like they walk around with. So it's that, you know, it's that, and it's so full of, so potent and so full of potential. And then moving into the mother archetype. So the mother is about really exploring how we mother ourselves as well as how we're there for others. And it's that's that the mother energy is actually about creation. So creation is full of passion. And that energy is real fire, igniting things, but also being nourished, igniting projects, igniting. It's the energy of summer. It's when everyone puts on their, like, you know, crazy Hawaiian shirts that are normally like, you know, don't see the light of day, or they would never even really want to wear them. And they're out in the sunshine. They're at, you know, it's kind of barbecues. It's people gathering. It's people's, you know, long nights. Long days, and, you know, sort of long evenings of light and things. So it's that sense of like the collective and that sense of community, but that sense of sharing. And you're more extrovert in the summer, mm-hmm. right? You're more likely to be wanting to be around that social scene and going out to places and sticking your nose out the door and exploring and that kind of thing. But the nourishment that summer, you think of like strawberries and beautiful watermelon and like that's engagement with, like, you know, real vibrancy. So we're looking at that and aspects of that in your life. Mm-hmm. As well as it's the mother. So the mother is about holding you and nurturing you and making sure you have what you need. Mm-hmm. So it's a very loving energy. It's very inclusive.
Yeah.
And it's often, I mean, there are two sides to an archetype as well. You know, there's that sometimes we can overdo that and get really overgiving. As a result of that, and that's when we can explore that and bring some healing into that as well, so that we can begin to understand why that might be present in order to address that and balance that in our lives. And then the enchantress, the enchantress archetype, which is really all about the enchantress is the her energy is about, well, you know, the woman that's going to steal your partner away, you know, to go to kind of but really what she really is she is an aspect of ourselves that rather than feel threatened by, if it's in another present in another person, that we feel carried by it. So because there are aspects of the enchantress in all of us, and it's just that sometimes we haven't explored it. And if we're really honest, maybe we want to. Mm. Maybe we want to go there, you know? And that within her, there are other aspects. She's quite wild. She's uninhibited. She's very mystical. And she has her own answers. She's this, she really is her own woman. But also that she carries this, in terms of her sexual energy, she carries this truly owning who she is. And that she may take you somewhere, you know, or we may take ourselves somewhere where it's deeper.
Yeah.
it's deeper. There's more. It's more exploratory. You know, it's the Enchantress is also, you know, the Wild Woman too. So it's, I mean, for me, I picture Enchantress as, you know, someone sort of Hollywood glamour, but also she's the woman who will be so, you know, she'll just need to get out and need to get away, and she'll be running barefoot in the woods and, you know, foraging, and she's just as likely to be her, or reading a tarot spread, or, you know, she's, you know, really just as likely to be doing all of those things rolled into one person, which makes her this kind of potent combination, which people actually find quite threatening. Yeah. So, for example, I'm confused by, so for example, the Enchantress energy is I often think of Marilyn Monroe, for example, mm-hmm. Who accentuated the way that she related to her body by what she wore, and, you know, sewing buttons in her bra and all of that kind of thing. And at the same time was really in command and in control of who she was when she was on, when she was acting, and all the decisions she made when, you know, she was acting, and the way that she chose to present herself, but also is incredibly attractive, intelligent, and sassy. And again, you know, if we're really honest with ourselves, there's a bit of us that wants to relate to that energy and want to explore it in our own way.
Yeah.
In our own way, channeling our own self. So through that, the Enchantress is a fascinating and fantastic woman. And then archetype. And then coming to the wise woman, sometimes called the crone, and I call it crone medicine, because actually it's about the end of the cycle before we rebirth again. So it's about the death of the old. So it's when you really begin to take control of your own wisdom and what you know. You're no longer really looking to the external world to get everything and all your information and all your you know, ability to find that confidence. That is all really. So I think about you know, sort of if you look at sort of films like sort of Mamma Mia, where like the women they're all in, like, you know, menopause, and they're all like really just, if they come to a point where they're just themselves, they're who they are, but they all have something they can offer themselves.
Yeah.
And far greater and more exciting and more empowered than any other time. So the decisions they're choosing to make are completely wild and wacky and crazy because they can, they don't care anymore. Yeah. And you let go of everything. You let go of everything. So, you know, that confidence that comes with that, and deep knowledge and wisdom and focus on what you want to do to carry through and carry forward for the rest of your life. It's incredibly powerful and huge, full of potential, very exciting. And it's not the time when we disappear, contrary to you know, what society would like us to believe. It's the time when it's the opposite has to happen. If you want to be happy, you come into your own.
Yeah.
Whatever shape or form. So coming just back to the Enchantress energy, or the medicine woman, wild woman archetype, the mystic. I mean, she's really the one that I engage with more in my life on a daily level than any other, because of the age that I'm at. I'm going to be 49 this year, and that it's about that exploration of merging together of that mysticism, you know, the daring person that we are, finding our self-expression, growing into that identity, and really how to take it further, how to really develop that.
Yeah, wow. So I'm interested that you mentioned about the age there. So are these four archetypes, I know you said there are many, but we're working with these four simple ones, but do we, well, they're not simple, they're complex. But do we progress then? Is it like a linear progression? Are they all kind of always present? Are we cycling through them? How does it work?
Okay, so you can really embrace it, and you can look at, and this would be, you know, sort of possibly sort of some juicy conversation for another time too, that, you know, you can actually live them all of them through every month, because they're present in the lunar cycles and in the menstrual cycle too. So that is really exciting. So we find that sometimes, you know, we feel like we had a bit of a personality transplant halfway through the month. You know, and a perfect example of that for me is, you know, I'll have a very social week where I just want to see everybody, and I'll just make ridiculous amounts and overcommit, and then, you know, a couple of weeks later I'm like, what the hell have I done? It's like I'm feeling so antisocial. I just don't want to see anyone. And then I end up, people are used to it now. And I have to review everything. And I say, actually, I don't want to do any of it anymore, you know, and pace myself a bit more. So, you know, it's about that journey, but also that you'll have a dominant aspect to you at any given time. So that is, you know, if it's all going to plan, that you will be embodying a particular archetype at a given time in your life, or that if you need the energy or call upon the energy of a particular one, that then you can have, you know, you can really sort of, you know, get well, sort of get you know, get knowledge about that and access that energy in a very intentional way. So to work with that, depending on what it is you want to do, you know, and what you want to put your energies to. So it's very flowing and it's very movable, but there will be certain, like, you know, it's not a coincidence that I really feel a really close relationship with the enchantress and medicine woman and mystical archetype, because that's the time I am in, that's where I am in my age. But I'm also going into the crone archetype, because I'm going into menopause, I am menopausal, and that that is much more about, you get to a point where you are teaching, you are sharing, you are vocal, you are honing your wisdom, you're learning how to use that knowledge that you've acquired and apply it. So it's a different stage.
Yeah.
It's a different stage entirely, different energy entirely. So I'm sort of merging the two. And we do merge, you know, we have ones in between that are kind of a hybrid relationship between one and another. And if we're able to, the best scenario really is to try and engage with the one that really aligns closest to where you are in that stage of life, because she will give you the riches that you are, that are most most supportive for you at any given time.
I love that. And so I guess one message that we can take away from this is that if we are in that period of our life, like I say, moving towards mother or moving towards enchantress, that rather than resisting the natural wisdom and gifts that come with that, we can actually claim them, like they're all part of us.
Yeah, and it's all about perception too, because as I was, you know, saying earlier, a little bit earlier, that, you know, it's often, you know, we think that for example, midlife is a time when we disappear. Well, actually, it's the total opposite. Or we think that in teenage, it's a time when, you know, we don't really know anything. But actually, we know what we want in a particular way. It's what our wants and needs are very led by impulses and gut and instinct. And we want to hone some of that at some point again, right? You know, we want to know what our gut is telling us and that it feels right, you know, but with the wisdom that we've acquired, so that we're actually making really quality decisions as opposed to kind of, you know, random things that tend to happen when you're just trying things for the first time in your life. So we can really benefit from the knowledge that we've got and still access the gifts that the archetype can bring us and show. And also just to look back in our lives and see, well, what is it that we want to, what we want to let go of, or what we want to embrace more of and bring it with us.
That is all for today. I really hope that you enjoyed this interview. Let me know in the comments below what was your biggest takeaway. And if there's something you really want me to cover or somebody you'd love me to interview, then let me know as well. I want to hear from you. And before I go, if you would like some more free educational content to help you to have more fun in the bedroom, then head over to my website, inbedwithlisa.com/free-resources, and you can grab my free 56-page ebook called The A to Z of Fun Sex. It is full of 26 ideas that are going to make you want to cancel tonight's plans. So be warned. Thank you so much for sticking around, and I'll see you next time.